Do we have our special guest?
I'm here.
Whoa.
All right, give him some Zoom. We need to see him because Corby joins us. He's our special guest.
Look, here's the deal.
And maybe we'll do so every month. That's what it seems to be mapping out like for what's our high tea movie review.
The pay is awesome, so thank you.
Well, this week, or month, or now, we're reviewing the movie Face Off.
Yes.
Do we have a year on this?
1997.
Okay.
It's right in our wheelhouse. You know, because it's got Cage.
Yeah.
The 90s movie review, or no? Because we'll do some 80s movies on you. But this felt so 90s, this movie.
Yeah, no doubt.
It did have Nick Cage, who is what Stallone is to my mom's friend Rose. I feel like Nick Cage is to you.
Yeah, that's fair.
Dude, I mean, if you're a 12 to 15 year old boy, 10 to 15 year old boy in that era, in the mid 90s to, you know, 99 or whatever, the run that he went on was
unstoppable.
Was pretty epic for that age group. And I
remember, do you remember, Corby, the sect of people that would say Nick Cage is such a sellout type thing? Because
yeah,
you know, he had a couple of really cool movies.
Oh, yeah.
Raising Arizona, one of them. And he appeared to be headed on this trajectory of a cool actor who does, you know, some good thinking man's pieces, but he had comedic timing as well.
He did that movie with Cher that he got a lot of buzz for. He
might end up being like an indie film guy who would also branch out and be able to be more marketable, but then went total
full action
hero.
Yeah. Full on action. And you know what? Back in 1997, someone strokes you about a $9 million check to,
oh my gosh,
to work for 6 weeks. You're going to do it.
Right. I've never believed in the sellout theory. I do think these movies kind of, well, I'm sorry. I won't say suck.
Jeez.
But you know what I mean. They're just not thought of as films, Corby. They're not milk.
Yeah. No, they are not milk. But of all the ones that we've talked about, this, far and away, including Armageddon, is the most ridiculous.
All right, let's do a movie pitch.
It doesn't... Ridiculous, okay, but I just wanted to point out that it's The Rock, 1996, Con Air, 1997, Face Off, 1997.
Yeah.
Those three.
A lot going on, man.
Row.
Yeah, Con Air, you're going to say this is more ridiculous than Con Air?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's do the movie pitch.
Yeah,
okay?
Let's do it. Yeah. I'm ready.
Okay, here's what we got. Number one, I'm going to pitch you guys. I got the two biggest names in Hollywood today. Fresh off Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
He's back. Fully back. John Travolta.
What a comeback. We need
Amazing.
Him. We need him. If you got him, I want him.
Do I need to sell you that I have Nick Cage? Like Nick Cage?
Oh, that's my God.
I don't care if we have Travolta. We just added Travolta to Nick Cage.
My only question is, when they're both up for an Oscar, who's leading, who's supporting?
Let me tell you.
That's a lot of screen right
interesting.
There.
Interesting.
All right. He's between projects right now. I think I can get John Woo to direct.
John Woo?
Yes.
Action superstar director? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm in.
I've got a piece of technology that he's going to employ that I'm going to tell you about in a minute. So hold on. Hold that thought, okay? Don't forget the technology.
I bet I can predict it.
He just came off Broken Arrow, which Travolta was also great in.
Oh, that's right. They have a relationship. It's his muse.
This will go swimmingly.
Okay, so what if we do... All right, I got this idea, though, swimming around in my head. You guys can help me. Let's get in the writer's room. We'll put it all together. But I got kind of a mix of... It's kind of a prison breaky, like Escape from Alcatraz. Mm-hmm. I got that in there.
Check.
I also have... It's going to be like a man on the run, like The Fugitive. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Those both did so well.
I got an idea for a standoff scene, like in the end of Reservoir Dogs.
Oh,
I'm going to have a cool scene like
People
that.
Love that.
You're never going to forget this.
The Mexican
guns
standoff.
Guns are always hot, yeah.
Speaking of guns and being hot, never. I don't think this has ever been done. What if I include like a high-speed boat gun chase thing. Like, they're just shooting at each other from the boats.
Well,
wait, so the entire movie is on land,
but then
the climactic scene, you shift it to the ocean?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a problem, because right now it's 1997 and a lot of rap videos are using speedboats.
Okay.
I think that's pretty hot right now.
If and you remember,
work a speedboat in, I'm in.
You guys remember Freaky Friday?
Yeah, like a switch up.
You know how, thing. Like, yeah, that's a cool thing, right? But
uh-huh.
That's not, you know what, I always walk out of those movies, like, oh, that was fun, but that's not realistic.
Right.
That could not happen scientifically. You don't just go to bed and wish that you change
magic.
Bodies with your mom, and then all of a sudden you're in her body. That doesn't work.
No, magic is not as hot as the speedboats.
What if we do a Freaky Friday-like thing where we're changing bodies, but I can make it work scientifically? Like, we can make up a plausible plot line to where somehow, like, let's say I took Travolta's face.
Go on.
And I put it on Nick Cage's body, and Nick Cage's face, and it's on Travolta's body.
And we can sell this with a very secretive scientific group that specifically does these types of operations,
well, yeah,
unknown to the FBI.
That's not a dock-in-a-box operation. Yeah, that's got to be black ops.
Right, and what they could do also, they could... I know since their bodies look different, mm-hmm. we can alter their bodies, too.
Oh, like...
right down to every hair on their chest.
Boy, yeah. In 1997, that feels a bit advanced. I love it. Are you telling me you think people will buy this?
I can sell this.
Okay.
Because I also have $200 million.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And we can make it look really cool.
What about the voice? Isn't that going to be a problem? Or do you have some inexplicable quick fix for that as well?
I have an idea for that.
Okay.
It's not been discussed much in the movie world, but how about implanting some form of chip in the larynx? To where we sell it as it's in there, we somehow get the computers to sync up with the chip with one voice and the other voice, and
wait, bros,
people
I got
aren't
a cool idea.
Go on.
How about this, though? All right, so that's wonderful, Corby.
Yeah.
I can't believe you thought of it. So we change their voice, but it is a chip. Like, if the chip gets dislodged, the other guy's voice will come out. So now it'll be Nick Cage talking, but you'll hear Travolta's voice, like Nick Cage's body talking, but you hear Travolta's voice.
Fascinating.
And that's how someone might
recognize,
you know,
him as himself.
Find out. Yeah,
yeah. Boy, those lackeys in the editing room are certainly going to love this.
Here's the piece of technology that Wu is really into. John Wu,
uh-huh.
director. I already got him locked up.
Yeah.
You guys just say go and we're in. It's a new piece of slow motion technology.
Oh.
So it's still moving, but it's just a bit slower.
Right. And he could just insert this into, like, small little 2-second pieces, or we could use it for a whole... I've been working with Nick Cage. He really wants to jump out of things and shoot two guns, and he wants to do it in slow motion.
Yeah, well, I can think of better use of this innovative technology that Wu has pioneered here. Use it as much as he wants.
How about this? How about 80 to 90% of the film is in slowed down slow motion?
Well, you know.
Wait, you slowed down the slow motion?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Extra slow.
He's got that in his bag?
You remember,
I mean, I guess that's why he's John Woo.
You remember the beginning of Reservoir Dogs when they're all in their suits and they're walking really slow toward the camera?
Badass.
How about the whole movie is just like that?
And then we slide in that Reservoir Dogs scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you said.
I mean, yeah, people love
same,
that.
We've got the same quality of actors. Why not?
Yeah.
What are some of the things that could happen here now?
I have an idea.
Freaky Friday. Go ahead.
Okay. We need to create conflict, and we need to create tension. I know this seems a little touchy, but it's relatable because everybody's got a kid. I think I need a 5-year-old murdered in the first 2 minutes of this movie by accident, by a sniper. And you're probably wondering, are you ever going to explain why this sniper was trying to kill this boy's father while they were playing on a carousel? I'm not. The point is, I need a dead child. And if I get a dead child, now you realize we're playing a high-stakes game here. No need for a backstory, just a dead kid.
I like what's going on here. A dead kindergartner killed on a merry-go-round.
Yeah.
Maybe with his father. This instantly sets up good versus evil.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Tone setter. You might think, like, oh, people are going to be turned off. That kid has a hole in his chest.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll play.
No, it's a great idea. And yeah, I love the no backstory whatsoever. Just a sniper-like action on a merry-go-round that knocks out a child.
Do we need to explain if he knows the guy?
No. No.
Do we need to explain if that guy wronged him in the past?
No.
No. The thing is, we produce a dead kid. You're hooked.
It's a great idea. That's a great idea. Now, also, within this same vein here, the man who... Let's say Nick Cage. Let's just put Nick Cage behind the gun. Let's make him the bad guy. But the thing is, with the faces being, you know, just passed around like a cheap whore, anybody can be bad, right? But let's make him the bad guy at first. And let's also make him, oh, God, a super criminal.
Talking about a bomb?
Yeah, yeah. He's just a criminal that you don't really know what he does outside of mayhem.
Yeah. No, kind of like a Joker-type vibe.
Right.
Does he work for someone? We won't explain it.
Right.
Does he need money? We won't explain it.
I like that Joker idea. What if we have him, like, dance around crazy sometimes?
Symphony stuff? Just,
yeah.
But no makeup.
That.
No makeup.
Flowing?
But yeah.
Yeah, we're not to the makeup.
Just the Nick Cage
insanity. Can we throw in a little... With the dancing, could you slow-mo some of it?
Oh, we've got the budget for the slow-mo.
We need, like, a long flowing coat, because that'll look really cool in the slow-mo.
Music. Can we make him super horny?
Yeah, are you guys into, oh, God, let's put this delicately, pedophilia?
Well, I'm not into it, but I feel like it could help sell that he's the super criminal.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It feels like that's a lot of
pedophilia. If he's this bad, you know what else is bad? Drugs.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. Drugs? People hate drugs.
Yeah,
yeah. Drugs
like
are bad.
Idea. You know how like you know, a lot of people are repulsed by, but based on my research, I talked to the team, are also kind of interested in, is like someone else having sex with their wife. Why don't we make that basically the undercurrent of the entire movie?
Ah, with the different faces and like, oh, it's the
she
new guy,
know.
And yeah, she has no idea.
She's gonna end up having sex with the bad guy,
right?
Because he's got the good guys downstairs, you know. And
yeah,
he's got the whole thing. They modified the peen, so. You know how it's like, again, it's gross.
They modified the penis.
It's gross, but a lot of people are into it.
Uh-huh.
I'd kind of like to make that what this entire movie is basically about, is the bad guy laying down in bed with the good guy's wife.
Can Travolta...
Like,
that'll
hot,
be like the Freaky Friday thing.
Kind of hot. Yeah.
Yeah, you're living... You have to do things that he does.
Yeah.
If Travolta is our protagonist here, if we've established that Nick Cage is the super criminal antagonist, can he be at the... Oh, God. The very highest level of the FBI...
Yeah,
yeah, because it's the super.
I don't want to.
That's who would be after a super criminal.
Yeah, yeah.
You wouldn't have just local cop
and really, really knows how his way around weaponry, karate.
Yep.
Pretty much everything.
Yeah, he's super cop against super criminal. Except super criminal has murdered super cop. You remember when I proposed the dead kid?
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
One more thing. Now this seems out of left field. But you got to go with me. My investors are really into this.
Okay.
And we want to get more diversity in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the 90s.
Good idea.
And she's really hot right now as far as... I just want to work her in somewhere. I got Margaret Cho.
Oh, oh wow.
I lined up Margaret Cho.
Yeah.
Is this like a comedic
she's
relief
rolling.
Thing?
No, not really. I just need to get her kind of...
She's a comedian.
I just need to work her in. Remember how we had Chappelle for the for Con Air?
Yeah.
Yeah, that worked.
I got Cho, bro.
I think that's awesome. She is red hot right now. I'll go you one better. If you're going to get Margaret Cho, I've got really high hopes for this one woman here in a couple of years. I think she's maybe going to link up with some guys and be a part of a revolutionary television show. You guys familiar with CCH Pounder?
Oh, wow. Yeah, she's an up-and-comer I've been hearing about.
Yeah, I want her to be kind of the liaison between the FBI and the face-off plant where they exchange faces.
Bro.
Did you just land us a title?
What?
You said face-off.
Like, because they're taking the faces off. We could just...
Name?
Just...
Deal.
We could just call it face-off.
Deal.
It sells itself.
Yeah, it really
incredible.
Does.
This
it
is
really
why we
does.
Keep this guy around right here.
All right, we've got the basis of a winner. And let's just continue this next. Corby the Snake Davidson joins us right now for our segment two of our High T movie review. The movie's called Face Off, which starred Nick Cage, John Travolta, and oddly Margaret Cho. With a sprinkling of CCH Pounder.
You know, in the late 90s, I used to, and we I did this on the air too. I would tell people, like, have you seen that documentary Face Off where these two guys exchange faces? And you got to go see it, man. It's just freak you out, the technology that we have now.
Well, you know,
the kid not dead, not killed during the first 2 minutes of the movie, during the credits. It's the opening credits. Yeah. We're just going to establish there's the Cage shoots Travolta's kid during the opening credits, mistakenly. But he does think it's funny.
You know, there's a sequel coming out.
For real?
Yeah, you guys did this on E! News a while back.
We did?
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
Like
it's
John Woo?
With Cage and Travolta?
Well, wait. Face on.
Cage is dead.
Yeah.
Really?
Spoiler alert.
You're ready to believe that?
Yeah. That's true.
I don't know that we're following any conventions here.
My favorite slow motion that John Woo employed... Nick Cage walking with the flowing overcoat, shooting two guns, diving out of the plane, of course. Travolta handing his wedding ring to his boss.
Mm-hmm.
Slow-mo. Let me slow-mo that down. The prison door opening to reveal that that they're both there now.
Yep.
We're all here. Throwing the jug in the air and shooting it during the prison escape, like a jug full of some kind of a chemical. But
yeah,
then I
that
shot it.
Was just happened to be there. Sulfuric acid,
yeah,
like
we
a
just keep...
whole jar labeled sulfuric acid.
Yeah, you may ask why
sitting in the middle of a prison.
Yeah, let's just keep this thing that'll melt all of your skin off if people get into it. Let's put it right here in the cafeteria.
Yeah, literally in the food court.
When. So this it's hard to describe this, but it's Cage, who is in Travolta's body, with his teenage daughter, who was kind of gothy and whatever, pulls out a switchblade for her to give it to her. That was in slow motion.
Yeah, well, she's struggling, you know, because of the dead kid who's her brother.
Yeah,
the sliding and the shooting,
kill the kid,
the diving somersault, slow mo.
Oh, he loves
running,
to roll in the air,
running up the stairs with the explosion following you. Falling through the glass ceiling, walking on the beach, the doves flying in the church.
Doves, the
that
freaking doves.
Awesome.
So
the
many
boat
doves.
Dock explosion, the police boat used as a ramp,
yeah,
and then the
yeah.
explosion. We're going to slow-mo that. Flying off the boat once they both did crash. And then at the very end, so I think everything was believable until the very end. When Travolta had to go get his face put back on.
Right, because they took his face off.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, apparently a few pounds put back on.
Yep.
And
yeah.
all this kind of stuff. His hair back hair, in and all yeah. that kind of stuff. Everything except the scar that he had, he wanted.
From when they tried to...
So I believed everything good. Until he walked into the house in slow motion. Mm-hmm. So they didn't tell the wife and daughter that he was going to be returning from this harrowing... They were just sitting there reading the paper,
right.
doing some stuff. But then he just walks in and then presents to them, here's your new brother. I didn't talk it over with my wife, but we're going to adopt the kid of the dead Nick Cage now.
Yeah,
we're
the
going
villain.
To just adopt him. It's going to kind of take the place of the kid that we had killed.
Yeah.
So
same
really,
age, same age.
Really? Wasn't that big of a deal.
Right.
No loss.
And
it's a trade
and,
where both teams win.
I didn't discuss it with my wife that I'm adopting a 5-year-old, but she's totally on board with it right away.
Mm-hmm.
Just nods, and the sister also just says, "I'll take you to your room, Sonny."
So it's confusing because there at the end, when you know everybody's dying and Nick Cage is dying, and then it's time to put the face back on, and they just disappear. You know, so the family wouldn't go with them. And by the way, Joan Allen, the wife, before, I guess, all this took place, whispers in his ear, they're getting the best surgeons from D.C. to come down.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you need.
So they're not DC. Getting just random, like, a podiatrist to come down? They're getting the face-on guys, together, the specialists? Okay, thanks, Joni.
They've called Dr. Jill Biden. She'll be handling this.
By the way, I got one more thing if I can pitch in the room, and that is that... Whenever these guys shoot a gun, whoever they aim at, they kill instantly. And so I want to have over 100 people dead, all right? Because I want Cage and Travolta to be just marksmen.
But what if four guys are shooting a machine gun at one of them?
The reverse. Yeah, we need the inverse happening there.
Or so just with a pistol, I can pick off those four guys.
Yeah.
Now, you may be saying,
who have 100
aren't
rounds,
those, like, tactically trained SWAT team commando types and wonder why they're less accurate than criminal and FBI desk guy? I mean, I don't really want to have to explain it, but that's what we're going to have to go with here.
Yeah, they're going to take out strippers on cocaine are going to be able to take out the Navy SEALs in the bad guy's lair.
Boy, I do love the bad guy's lair. That's a 90s thing. Like, if I show up to the bad guy's lair, there's always hots there.
Yeah.
Coke.
Dressed as if they were going out, right?
Mm-hmm. Always.
Cocaine, tons of drugs all around.
Light bass music.
They're always partying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all just, no matter when you show up, it's, oh my gosh, look at all the cocaine and the guns.
If you could count the amount of bullets that those two guys shot at each other, that Cage and Travolta shot at each other and missed, and I'm not joking, it would be in the thousands.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And I also think you mentioned one scene earlier in the slow-mo breakdown as we were kind of going through the slow-mo budget. I don't think I've ever seen more glass break in one movie.
Yeah. One time, there was a door that was wide open, and Travolta, instead of just walking through the door to shoot someone, dove through the giant pane of glass that was next to it.
Sometimes
in slow motion.
Sometimes we'll drop in from the ceiling through glass.
Right.
Sometimes we'll just shoot a mirror with both of us on each side of it because we
so
see ourselves
glass.
And we don't like this. I'm going to play you, this is a mock-up I have from a table read from the bad guy lair, where they've given Nick Cage, who is John Travolta, Nick Cage's body some drugs, and he starts talking about what he wants to do. You know, the other guy, you get it.
So, once we kidnap Super Cop, then what?
Tiny surgery. I'd like to take his face off.
You see, what we're doing here is we're working the title into the dialogue. To sort
it's
of
brilliant.
Yeah, so.
It's brilliant.
If you excuse me, I have to use the little boy's wheelie room.
Pull that.
Cast. You want to take his face?
Yes. His face. Eyes. Nose. Skin.
It's coming off.
The face.
I mean, the bit lasted like 3 minutes. You're like, come on, man. By the way.
Hey, say it again.
By the way, this movie's like 2.5 hours. Like, it's like The Godfather.
Very long.
It's unbelievable how long it is.
When you have this much awesome and you've got Travolta and Cage,
you just keep going.
So when they initially gave Travolta Nick Cage's face, Travolta is an FBI agent, the best one ever. And Nick Cage was in a coma. So they took his face off. They put it on Travolta because Travolta has to infiltrate the bad guys who are in prison. We, of course, can't tell anybody about this. This has to be so top secret.
Yeah.
Don't tell your wife. Don't tell anybody. And then Nick Cage ends up waking up from the coma with a gauze-wrapped head because he just didn't have a face, so they just put gauze around it.
Just like he skinned
but he woke up
turf or something.
Smoked a cigarette with no face. Saw Travolta's face is over there. Somehow was able to call a buddy who could somehow figure out who the doctor was in this secret lab, kidnap him, and then he had to bring him in the middle of the night to put Travolta's face on.
Because that's definitely the sort of surgery that one surgeon does.
Yeah, one guy.
We're there
at 2 a.m.
Face transplant.
Not just face, though. We got to do the whole thing, and then we're just going to burn that guy alive.
And then,
you burn everyone.
With this great technology you have, you don't have the technology that if something burns down, you can figure out four people that were dead here were tied up and killed, you know.
Right.
You can't tell where the origin of
it. So or, I don't know, how about like an alarm system?
How about when
anything.
They're in
the... Yeah, no, nothing. Watching the most evil criminal of all time, we just had him lying in that bed because he's in a coma, and there's nobody watching him, no nurse or anything.
So Travolta, he goes to prison to figure out from the bad guys where the bomb is planted. That
the toughest, most secure prison you've ever seen. Everybody wears magnetic boots.
Yes,
I thought that was the coolest thing when I was.
Hey, I feel like we should, when we're talking about the prison, can we work in that the Geneva Convention doesn't apply here?
Doesn't apply.
I don't know what that really even means,
right.
But I know it sounds scary.
Oh, whoa. So he's in prison. He's got to figure out a way out of there because no one knows who he is. They don't know his real identity because they had burned all the people that were aware.
Like even the warden, right?
Nobody knew. Yeah, nobody knew. So he's like, oh, my God, now I got to figure out a way out of here, okay? So Supermax, right? You are in a prison that nobody can get out of until he asks this question.
I torched all the evidence that proves you're
Oh, no, wait, that's not the right round.
You can't.
How can I get out of here?
You can't.
How can I get these boots off?
They only take them off in the clinic. Right before they fry your skull.
He's got an idea. He's going to walk over to a smoking cop.
Hi. I'm out of cigarettes.
Get back in line, Troy.
I said I'm out of cigarettes.
All right, so he asks a question. He asks a question. How do I get out of here? You can't. How do I get the boots off? Right before they kill you, they electrocute you. That's the point where you've done something horrible. So he figures, let me go take a guard out to near death. That way they're going to kill me. This all happens within 2 minutes.
Yeah.
He is in the electric chair, and then his lobotomized criminal buddy comes to life, and they kill all the guards. And then he is in Los Angeles within like 13 minutes.
Well, you left out one key note. This prison is not on land. It's
right
on what appears to be an
oil rig
several miles off the
ocean.
So
how did he get from there to L.A.?
We're not really going to show that. We're just going to show him jumping into the Pacific Ocean.
Right. Yeah.
from hundreds and hundreds of yards away from shore.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's just going to pop up at, like, a local restaurant and steal a car from the valet. We don't see him swimming. We don't see...
All he had to do was ask his buddy... How do I get out of here? And he's out in 5 minutes! 5 minutes! He's out!
Well, you know, he's an FBI agent.
Well, that's true.
He's
the best.
He's got the ins and outs of
the
whole...
The best, Jerry.
Well, I loved it.
It is so... And the ending, too. There's like five endings, right? They're in the church, they're on the land, they're in the boat, they're on the land again. Like, they can't kill each other.
Yeah. Budget $80 million, box office, $245 million.
No.
Yeah. I feel like our plan works.
So this only meant, this is like, well, let's make another.
Yeah. 25 years later?
Like, if Con Air bombed, this doesn't get made, right?
None of these movies bomb because they're awesome.
He's got a point.
All right. $251 million. This is the ticket.